We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, March has arrived and we're only a few weeks away from the big tournament. Yes, that tournament. Make sure to head on over to Bet Online and open an account today to get in on their $100,000 Bracket Madness contest starting March 15. That's right, I said 100,000 and March 15. You don't need to be a hardcore player to get involved in the action, and with multiple entries available, it's the season's best chance to cash in. And remember, the NBA and the XFL are still going strong, so whatever your passion is, BetOnline is the place for all your sports betting needs. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure you use that promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for your 50% sign up bonus. Once again, that promo code is BLUEWIRE, all one word, 50% on your initial sign-up bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Mahomes has the time, delivers perfectly downfield, touchdown! Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
This one, Adams, touchdown! This time going deep for Beckham Jr.
Hello everyone, welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by betonline.ag. My name's Colm Kelly, you can follow me on Twitter at OvertimeIreland. I'm joined once again by Mr. Sean Siegel. Sean, the Combine occurred over the past couple of days. We're recording this on the 3rd of March, and there was some exciting takeaways from it. We'll be talking about a lot of those over the both shows this week. There'll be a lot of Combine talk, a lot of prospect talk, obviously, as we get ready for the NFL draft in a couple of weeks and what that might mean for fantasy football. Sean, did you stick into much of the combine? Did you get to catch up on most of it, or what? How do you look at the numbers, or do you follow the action when it comes to the combine?
I try to do both because, frankly, this is just a lot of fun, right? You get to see the guys out there running. You get to see them outside the football field, which in many cases can be misleading as opposed to helpful, but it's always interesting to watch the individual players run, see who has that good stride. Certainly when they get to that 40 line, from time to time, it is surprising how some of the guys who don't look like they're running as smoothly or as quickly still post good times, whereas every once in a while you'll have one of these players who looks like he's just flying or at least making a very good progress, and that 4.65 pops up, and it's surprising, which it gives a little bit of a hint, I think, about the way the actual games play out as well, where the main thing that we're looking for is production from these players, guys who can actually find those spaces at wide receiver, create that separation. Certainly running backs who run to daylight, definitely we want to get as many of those players as we can, but at the same time we certainly saw some of the guys we were expecting to have huge performances, they did. And then this wide receiver class, I think, becomes even more interesting because even though it is very deep for the first 7, 8, 10 prospects, there may be some minor red flags for some of these guys in terms of where they're going to go compared to perhaps some historical prospects. So it'll be interesting to see with as many wide receivers as we have in this class, I wouldn't be surprised to see them fall, right? I'm always expecting receivers to go earlier based on the current NFL, and yet they've fallen a couple of times in recent years. Certainly someone like a DJ Moore expected to go a little bit earlier. Certainly some players like an AJ Brown maybe expected to go a little bit earlier. Those guys, better prospects than most of the second tier here. So if you have a deep class, right, then maybe you would expect these guys to fall because you don't have to reach in that first round. There's going to be someone there in the second. So that's anticipating a little bit further down the line, but certainly seeing these guys at the combine was a lot of fun, gives us new information. And you know, now we can get ready for the second wave of prospect analysis. The new Dynasty rookie guide will be coming out, the Dynasty Command Center guide that sold really well on the first draft and has a lot of cool stuff in there. The enthusiasm for that, I know, is at a peak. And certainly now that we have the combine information, we can do a lot more cool stuff with it.
Yeah, it's going to be super cool. And you mentioned about sometimes these players could fall in the draft. And sometimes when there is that depth, the urgency isn't always there unless a team really loves an individual player. So sometimes we can see that with kind of a quantity of players, maybe at a similar level, a little bit of a delay in teams wanting to jump the gun and take that particular player. You mentioned, Sean, the draft guide. Obviously, I want to give a plug out to the new site design as well for any of the listeners that haven't been over on the site over the last couple of days. A fresh kind of coat of paint, I guess we'll call it, put on the site, Sean. I have to say, looking very smooth, looking very clean. I really enjoyed last year's update. I believe it was last year it was updated previously, and it was a very nice design. But I have to say, just some really good features and really good tweaks that have boosted the site in terms of the overall usability at the moment. And even jumped in to see the podcast page myself, and you have an individual player now that you can play all the episodes there on the first page of the podcast player, which is a nice little bit. But happy with the overall site design, Sean. I think it's really smooth looking.
Definitely. Dave Caban is responsible for this. Dave is responsible for so many things on the site and does just an absolute
he's a wizard.
right. And as you mentioned, we were really excited about the redesign last year. Dave has taken a little bit of a step forward with it here, making things easier to find, making the site work a little better. You mentioned the podcast page, making it a little bit easier to find and use some of the tools, and making some of the specific elements a little bit easier to use on mobile, which obviously that's how we all use the internet now. So all of those advancements, I think, make the site a little bit more fun and user-friendly, and certainly Dave deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah, 100%. And we'll be talking about some of Dave's work on the shows this week as well. But as we mentioned on the website there, I guess we'll give the loyal listeners a plug here in terms of the 10% discount you can get to a RotoViz NFL pass. You can get that right now through the NFL podcast homepage that I'm just after mentioning. That is rotoviz.com/podcast. Get ready for the NFL draft and get ready for anything really. Best ball season, dynasty rankings, everything is up there on the site, and you can gain all that, all the tools, all the content for that 10% discount. Once again, that is rotoviz.com/podcast. Sean, let's jump straight into it here as we look through some of the recent combine activity and what that has done in terms of some of these players, in terms of their kind of prospects heading into the NFL. You talked about the 2020 freak scores and Henry Ruggs and how you know, he kind of blazed a trail for himself this weekend. What were some of the key takeaways looking at the freak scores and where some of these prospects shake out in that list?
Yeah, and so to give just a little bit more context, the freak score is a height, weight, speed metric that helps you project NFL touchdown scoring. So something that directly relates to a very key element for fantasy. And not surprisingly, this metric is scaled 1 to 100, and 100 would be Megatron Calvin Johnson. You just don't see players like him. To give a sense of just how much the drop-off is, the next two guys on that list are DK Metcalf and Stephen Hill, and they drop all the way down to 91 and 90. A couple of the other top players, you have Darren Waller at 90. Now, it's not really set for tight ends, but this perhaps foreshadowed his transition to tight end. Obviously, a big, fast guy who, now that he's playing tight end, very difficult to handle. Certainly glad that, you know, he was able to get his life together and really show what he can do on a football field. Vincent Jackson, obviously someone who for the Chargers there was impossible to stop for many years.
We have Julio Jones at an 85, Andre Johnson, which we like to talk about since he seems so similar to AJ Brown at an 82. Also some red flags here. It's not just that if you're a massive guy, you're automatically going to be good in the NFL. Darius Heyward-Bey, Dorial Green-Beckham, Cordarrelle Patterson, Kevin White, some guys in the 80s who were busts. So we want to keep in mind that production is still king, but it was exciting in this particular combine to see a guy go out and hit at that 90 range, which we just very, very rarely see. And that's obviously Chase Claypool, who ran a 4.42 40 at a little over 6'4 and 238 pounds.
Yeah, some of these guys in terms of, and I actually, some parts of the combine that I enjoy the most is seeing some of these defensive linemen and offensive linemen hitting these 40-yard dashes, you know, at sub 5 seconds, which is just amazes me every time I see those big guys moving at those speeds. But you mentioned some of the names. Obviously, it can lead to situations where players don't, for whatever reason, translate. Obviously, there's more to becoming a star wide receiver in the NFL other than the athletic ability, but it's definitely something that gives a huge boost. You know, Kevin White, probably one of the biggest busts, over the last 10 years in terms of NFL draft position. Just an interest, Sean, with Calvin Johnson hitting the 100. Do you think we'll ever see anybody get anywhere close to that in the freak score? Obviously, you mentioned there's a 9-point differential back to DK Metcalf. It's hard to imagine somebody ever just clicking into that gear that Calvin had.
It's hard to imagine. At the same time, you know, we saw that tight end from Missouri run a ridiculous time at a gigantic size this weekend. Certainly, you know, every year we have these fantastic athletes, and I think we're all excited and waiting for the next Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson, obviously, with that 1,900-yard season, certainly a touchdown scoring machine when the officials were not messing up the catch rule. All of those things with him, as a Lions fan, the Barry Sanders time period, the Calvin Johnson time period, those were the real peaks. It's very difficult to go now and watch the current Lions, although Kenny Golladay, obviously a site favorite, and with the breakout this last season. The next Calvin Johnson will be what we're all looking for. Certainly players like that don't come around very often, but when they do, we all enjoy it throughout the entirety of their careers. But that brings us, I think, into this next group of players where we were also looking at perhaps seeing the 40 record broken. Henry Ruggs does a 4.27 and people were disappointed, but that probably gives you a sense of just how fast someone is when they run a sub 4.3, which is just, you know, you have the Jets basically sticking out of your back there, and people still a little bit disappointed with that. But we do then bring him into a group of comps with some pluses and minuses, right? You pull up the box score scout, and the guys that you have for him there are Curtis Samuel, Paris Campbell, Philip Dorsett, Marquise Goodwin, Jacoby Ford. All of those guys running between a 4.27 and a 4.33. Very fast guys, but guys who, like Ruggs, didn't necessarily have the greatest collegiate production, and then a little bit of a mix going to the NFL. Now, I think there's still some potential for Curtis Samuel. He's going to be a little bit less expensive this year after he really busted over the second half of last season, but maybe some post-hype value there. Goodwin and Ford, and maybe Ford especially, might have been very exciting NFL players if they had simply stayed healthy. So I don't think that this is saying that Ruggs is going to be a bust by any stretch.
Yeah, and I'll be the first one to admit, like, I love Marquise Goodwin. I've been on that train for a long time. I eventually got off it last offseason, I had real hope for a big breakout maybe 3 years ago. But obviously, he's had his injuries, like you mentioned there. Jacoby Ford had a lot of injuries. A couple of younger guys in there, obviously, when you mentioned Paris Campbell, rookie last season, Curtis Samuel, still a lot of hope there for him. Like that whole offense outside of Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore really did fall apart in that kind of second half of last season, as you mentioned there. Philip Dorsett, the one thing would concern me, Sean, with, you know, looking through those guys, there is a type of player there. There's that kind of, they're either kind of deep threats or they're kind of short intermediate route runners. There's not a huge player on that list that you think, if this if Henry Ruggs gets to this level, we're really satisfied in terms of who you'd be hoping would be Curtis Samuel. But Do you think that, you know, if we're looking at where he might go, you know, when we get to rookie drafts and dynasty, do you think that's worth the investment if you're thinking of his comps being at that level?
I think once we get to the rookie drafts, we'll have a sense of what team he's on. And I think for these small, fast guys, especially, or not small, but these guys with the blazing speed who maybe are a little bit more limited, like you said, Ruggs going in there at 188, certainly not a tiny player by any stretch, but someone who didn't do the same things at Alabama as his teammate. You're definitely wanting them to go with a team that can use them or a quarterback who can get the job done. Because certainly, if you're drafting Ruggs, you're hoping for Tyreek Hill. And the question then is, how much of Hill is himself? How much of it is Patrick Mahomes? Certainly someone who's even faster than Ruggs, right? The Hill is more in that John Ross range. Obviously, Ross, another player who hasn't really lived up to expectations, but perhaps if he were with a Patrick Mahomes. But certainly, Tyreek Hill, the best case scenario, a lot of these other guys, the worst case scenario, he is going to be expensive because he's going to go in the first round. He's very, very fast, which obviously piques everyone's interest. So definitely a big time risk reward player there. And I think that would be the same situation with a couple of these other guys we mentioned, like Claypool. His comps now have a Quincy Enunwa, a Chris Conley. Both of those guys have generated some fantasy interest at certain points. And again, injuries with Enunwa sort of took him out of play. Conley failed with the Chiefs, which if you're going to fail in that Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes offense, that's not necessarily a good sign, but was coming on strong toward the end of last season with the Jaguars. Not really a fantasy relevant player at this point, but someone who is stuck in the NFL. I wanted to mention one more name to you here, a guy I was a little bit higher on than the rest of the gang when we ranked players for the first edition of the DCC rookie guide. That was Denzel Mims. He posted a 72 with the freak score, a very good number there. Again, because of the scaling, most of the guys are going to come in that 50-ish range. He ran a sub 4.440 at 6.3, right? And that kind of helps you understand why Mims was a touchdown scoring machine at Baylor. He accounted for 35% of the, or more of their touchdowns in each of his last three seasons, including an impressive 12 touchdowns for over 50% of the touchdowns in his final season. He also had a 38-inch vertical, a 6.63 in the three cone, or a 6.66 in the three cone. And a three cone is one of those numbers for the, especially the taller receivers, that has been shown to give a little bit of information there. So certainly an extremely well-rounded profile for him. And he's someone where if he had been able, and I think this is one of the sort of unfair elements of the draft process, if he had been able to declare for the draft after his sophomore season in 2017, where he was already over 20 at that point. So, you know, not an unrealistic age to have someone moving into the NFL. That season, 61 receptions, 1,087 yards, almost 18 yards per reception. Again, a good sign. And a 33% dominator rating, above 30% in both market share yards and market share touchdowns. Is there any chance that that's the guy that we're going to see, and Mims might actually be, say, the third or fourth best player after those two big time names at the top?
I think it's very likely, you know, looking at how he performed this week and just looking, I know you mentioned the 2017 season, but, you know, I know he's 2 years older, so that's going to knock him down a little bit, but he's, you know, he's still coming in at, you know, 22 years old. You would like a little bit younger of an age, but last season, although he did play one game more, had more receptions, had very similar yards, over 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns that you mentioned. So he had quite a strong year last year, and then to be able to do the numbers that he did at the combine to kind of keep him in the mix, I think there's a lot of prospect here for Mims, and he's somebody who I think is going to be a very, very interesting to see his landing spot with wide receiver. I think landing spot can be, you know, the making or breaking of some of these players in terms of their fantasy kind of opportunities, I guess we'll call it. I think Mims, you know, if he does end up going to one of those kind of teams that were in the playoffs this year with a kind of explosive offense, I think he could be very, very intriguing. And he's the sort of player I think you could see, really depending on landing spot, jump up quite considerably in those rookie rankings as overall prospect, and of course as a wide receiver. But he interested me quite a bit before the combine, and even more so after the combine. So interested in him moving forward. Sean, you know, you can just start to speculate where some of these players might fit into certain offenses. And that it's a really exciting time. We're going to do very similar now with the running back position. Obviously, a lot of the wide receivers are looking to hit those 40 times. It's obviously something that's very important for the running backs as well. So when we look at some of the running back prospect lab kind of analysis here and look at some of the updates, Sean, there's a couple of clear winners, but is there any players you want to highlight in particular, or do you want to jump into a couple of those guys who are clear winners after their performance at the combine?
Well, we've talked about Jonathan Taylor at the show on the show at length, and it still, I think, was surprising the number of people. You know, you follow the mocks in the week leading up to the combine, and Taylor is third behind Dobbins and Swift almost everywhere, or certainly a lot of places. I even saw him fall to fourth behind the emerging LSU back, which, again, I'm wrong about things all the time. So it's certainly not something where I would look at a mock from someone and think that they don't know what they're talking about simply because they have Taylor lower than I have him. It just was a surprise to me because this is someone who really had the type of prolific college career that you rarely see. And he's a big guy who's a freakish athlete. And certainly that was the prediction. You don't know for sure. There were some guys at the combine who had, in theory, timed in the 4.3s in high school, who then ran in the 4.6s at this point. So what people are going to run now is not necessarily what you're hearing from, you know, their high school coaches, their strength trainers, all those kinds of things. You actually want to see it. But what we saw from Taylor was a 4.39 40 at 226 pounds. And that solidifies him in our running back prospect lab as the best prospect. Now, again, prospect, not NFL player. There's a difference between guys who, you know, what they projected to be and then what we can say that they are, right? But the best prospect in the time period that we are covering, and just to give a sense of where he fits, he goes up there and is the 100. He's sort of the Calvin Johnson of this running back group. Melvin Gordon will be a 96% percentile player now in terms of the projection through the lab. Christian McCaffrey, 96. Todd Gurley, 92. Ezekiel Elliott, Leonard Fournette in that 86 range. Dalvin Cook, 85. So that gives you a sense of what Taylor has done. Now, this is based on both production, size, and athleticism, where he fits, again, as a prospect. And so when we talked about having him in our top really five picks, if you're taking out the Superflex guys, but, you know, certainly top 10 picks among all players in Dynasty, I think this solidifies that, although still you have to look at where the eventual landing spot is to get a little bit of a feel for, you know, what that rookie year is going to be like.
Yeah, and what I would say is, like, we've talked about Jonathan Taylor, and you've mentioned we've talked about him a lot, and it's nearly, we don't want to just keep talking the same points over and over again, but it's getting to the stage now where everything is pointing to him just being such a prospect in terms of NFL and fantasy football. It's almost like you're trying to reel in the expectation a little bit, because I know you mentioned we can be wrong. Everyone in the fantasy industry is probably wrong more than they're right, but Jonathan Taylor's definitely not hurting his reputation with that combine performance. The other one, there's a couple here, but AJ Dillon obviously standing out as well with his performance, his percentiles in the broad jump, the vertical jump, exceptional, both 97-98%. The tree cone drill is where things fell down, Sean, quite a bit, 25th percentile there. How much concern across the board in terms of his combine performance do you put into the tree cone versus his other metrics, which, you know, appeared, you know, above average or to the elite level?
Yeah, so 97% in the vertical, 98% in the broad, 63% in the 40, but a 4.53 at 247 pounds gives him a speed score that is up in rarefied air, up in that elite range. Certainly, you're not concerned about that.
He's a big boy.
I'm big on the three cone, right, as you know. But a 7.19 at 247 pounds is astonishing. I mean, this is a guy who can move side to side, I think, better than people realize. One of the things that we have discussed at length is that you have guys like Derrick Henry, like Leonard Fournette. Both of those players have scored a lot of fantasy points. They actually have fairly different profiles in that Fournette got a lot of his from the receiving game, whereas Henry was just getting downhill like we've rarely seen in 2019. But both of those players struggle when they're forced to move sideways. They have a lot of rushes for loss, a little bit less for Henry in the second half of last season, but he spent numerous years getting tackled behind the line of scrimmage over and over and over again, to the point where Henry's original dynasty owners may have sold him at a loss before we finally saw some of these explosive performances. AJ Dillon, he's really the Michael Bloomberg of Derrick Henry's, right? I mean, he's the guy who is the $60 billion guy as opposed to the $1 billion guy. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to win the election or win the draft. It doesn't mean that he's going to be the guy who ends up in the right spot. Still a lot of questions about Dillon. He was the other player where I really didn't understand the mocks, because he was going in the fifth round in a lot of places and behind a lot of backs who, number one, were not nearly as good in college, and number two, don't have this size speed profile that would make them different. Right, a lot of the guys who are in that third, fourth, fifth round range are going to be players who are committee backs. They're backups. They certainly are going to be able to play in the NFL at a position where knowing the offense, being able to get what's blocked, those things are important, but not necessarily difference-making types of profiles like you potentially have from Dillon. So I think we still have a very wide range of outcomes now for him. But the upside outcome is now very, very exciting when we see that he, in fact, is the type of athlete you would think. The other thing that we saw from him was that, unlike some of these big, fast guys, he was a dominating player instantly when he got to college. And as we talk about on the show all the time, that's a very, very good sign.
You mentioned there's 247 pounds at 6 foot, you know, 6 foot flat. That is a big, big man to try and be stopping when he's running with the ball, and to have those other explosive traits is, it's gonna be interesting again. And Derrick Henry probably fits in as a good comparison for him. And with that, it's going to do us for today's show as we get ready to wrap up here. As always, make sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcast platform, whichever that is that you listen to the show on. The show coming out 2 times a week over the off season. We'll have another show coming out a little bit later this week, usually Friday morning. I mentioned on last week's show, the show usually goes up about a day earlier, maybe 12 hours early on the overtime feed itself. So make sure you're subscribed to both feeds to get all the best off RotoViz Radio. My name is Colm Kelly. Today's show was brought to you by betonline.ag. I was joined by Sean Siegel. And of course, until we're back with another show next week, make sure you're checking out all the great content on the site. I mentioned next week, I actually meant later this week. So until then, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime and RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.